sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast.
Hi.
I'm Rolando.
I thought you were saying hello.
Hi.
Now I'm Johnny. I thought he was saying hello to me, guys. I'm sorry.
And welcome to the show. This week, we are reviewing Shaun of the Dead. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner, watching Yellow Jackets Season 2, Episode 2, promptly titled Edible Complex. It kind of fits with our theme. Yellow Jackets is like the best show. It is. It always perfectly syncs with what we do. So,
with that said, yeah, what a jam-packed episode of stuff that doesn't give you any answers.
I think we should get straight to the meat of it and talk about the roast of Jackie. I think we should just start there.
Yeah, they're all like, hey, isn't Jackie see you next Tuesday? Right? They roasted her.
Yeah, I know.
It was like when Shauna's talking to like Ghost Jackie, you knew that Jackie had something cooking.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's true.
Well, like what is the takeaway from that? So what happens is they try to like funeral Viking.
As you do. Like, yeah. Some girls from New Jersey decided to funeral Viking their friend.
All of a sudden know how to do all these fucking rituals. Decided to like try to funeral Viking cremate Jackie. But of course they don't do it over the ocean or like a lake or anything. So essentially what they built was, from what I saw right away, was a slow cooker.
It wasn't a pyre.
Yeah, it wasn't structurally. Yeah, there was like no way that she was gonna burn up all the way. Like they, anyway.
You're right.
And I'm just like, wow, these guys, teenagers. I don't know. They just know how to do everything, and also they're impulsive and fucking scary. And Coach is catching on to this, and he's like, fuck.
So I will say, I was right. Jackie did get eaten, so I was proven correct. So I'll take that victory.
I'm also going to venture out to say that Jackie is probably dead. It's my guess.
It just makes you think how...
She's definitely been pooed out a long time ago.
That's how the next episode starts. They're all just... Bleh.
Is it a boy poo or is it a girl poo? I don't know. Misty at the beginning of the
episode. The kids are just taking turns with the bucket.
Yeah, which was supposed to be a pee, but somebody just decides to shit in the bucket instead. And everybody's like, who shit in the bucket? Like they wouldn't have noticed or smelled somebody taking shit in the bucket in the same room.
I know. That's... Yeah. No, yeah. Clearly. Yeah, so... Well, I figured we were going to get to this point because they've always hinted at being like the writers, the creators of the show have always said they would be like Lord of the Flies / Alive, like the soccer team that got stuck in the mountain.
Yeah, I mean, that was like the main vibe I got from the show immediately. It was like, oh, it's like that fucking soccer
team. Yeah, which based on your story, I should probably note that as well. So yeah, she got roasted in a very... supernatural way, the ghost. So to me, this the immediately where my head went was the ghosts take the Evil Dead first person approach, knock off some trees which loosen up the icicles which went over the pyre, which created a tombed barbecue situation similar to how you would like roast a pig or something like Hawaii style. Or I'm assuming that's how they luau'd Jackie, as she slowly roasted and cooked for hours. So
I didn't even venture to say that Lottie did that on purpose.
Yeah, it's all Lottie's fault, man. She clearly,
like, obviously a fucking liar.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely.
But yeah, I thought that was funny. And we got our church girl back.
What's my girl.
Laura Lee, right? Yeah, she's back. And she's ghoulish as
ever. Yeah, she's looking rough. So, I don't know. It's kind of hard to say. I feel like... And I don't know why, but I feel like there's a couple of, like, it's not just, like, one spirit, haunting spirit in the cabin. I feel like there's multiple ones. Because Thaisa is for sure getting spookied. Oh, what? Let me just back up before.
By the eyelids guy.
Yeah, by the eyelids guy, the no eyelids guy. Oh, just real quick, I was going to say that I kind of didn't like... the inner cutting, because so like all our main principal cast members decide to eat the Jackie because they're hungry, except for the coach, right?
Yeah,
and
he gets weird about
and,
it.
And he get yeah, he gets weird about it. He gets like, no, I'm this is terrible. And the thing I was going to mention was I didn't like the inner cutting because they cut to them.
Clearly a different director, right? Like a new director, not the usual directors we've had.
Yeah, so they kind of intercut it, them savagely ripping apart Jackie and stuffing their face, intercutting that with like them as sort of like in a feast, like medieval
with fruits and stuff.
Motif, yeah. Kind of. Yeah, kind of like Romanish vibe, which... I didn't really land with me. I get the intention, but I think I would have preferred the savagery of them doing the deed of them munching on Jackie. I just kind of felt like it was a cop-out. Like, it was a little too, like, arty. That makes any sense. I don't know. I was left a little cold on that.
Yeah.
In my opinion. That
I'm not going to say, like, I like Yellow Jackets. Yeah. I like the show. This is probably not my favorite episode I've seen. Mm-hmm. It had a lot of stuff going on, but there was just something about, like, I think cliche is the wrong word, but kind of things almost felt expected where I'm like, okay, but I'm also not getting any answers.
Yeah. It built on a lot of
but
things.
But it's kind of forcing you to be like, whoa, that happened. I'm like, yeah, but I expected that.
Yeah. I think it's building on the things that we already know. Does that make sense? Like, it's kind of like nothing, or insinuates a thing, so it didn't really progress the story or didn't really show its hand in what directions that it was going to go for the rest of the season. This was very much like, let's wrap up some loose ends from the first season. Let's get these guys eating Jackie.
Like, I got kind of annoyed by adult Natalie and Lottie's conversation about what happened to Travis.
Yes.
Because I was like, it's clearly a lie. Like, why did we waste all this time watching this? Like, I understand it could have been way shorter and be like, yeah, she's obviously lying. Got it.
Yeah. I 100% agree, because I had the same feeling about the first episode where I kind of felt like Natalie did all this work to escape and didn't escape. Like, she, and again, so for this episode to come up again and her to be like, well, I'm getting the fuck it out of here and blah blah blah, like, and then she's like, no wait, I have information about Travis. It's like, come on, dude.
I think I'm starting to not love the direction Natalie's character is taking, even young Natalie, like faking what happened to Travis's brother. What's his name? Javi, right?
Yeah,
where she like steals his shorts, cuts her leg in the cold for reasons. Like, she could have prepped the whole fucking thing back to the cabin, but and then she like hides the fucking shorts and was like, oh, look what I found. But she was like clearly pulling them out of her fucking backpack. And then it's like, oh, I found it back there. I just didn't know what to say. I'm like,
so I have two thoughts as to why I think it's not working. One, I don't think the way they've portrayed adult Lottie has been strong enough, because she's supposed to be like spiritual cult leader, manipulative, emotionally manipulative to these other characters. And it's quite hasn't hit those beats. Plus, I'm just going to say this, and I could easily be proven wrong, I don't really think that this actress is like quite nailing the part yet. I think that's part of it.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that. Yeah.
I don't think she...
The same with adult Travis.
Yeah.
Like when this guy is like acting a little bit more in this, I'm like, oh, he's like really kind of bad.
Yeah.
Like young Travis actor is like really good. That kid's good. And this guy's not good. Kind of felt like a soap opera actor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she kind of does too. Lottie, adult Lottie.
Yeah.
When young Lottie is fucking fantastic.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's where I'm feeling the disconnect. And I think what made the show immediately great was that the teen versions to the adult versions were like perfectly cast. And I feel like she has been the one that I think has so far been the, hasn't panned out quite yet. Maybe as the season goes on, you know, grow to like her, but the power or whatever that she's supposed to wield as a character plus the actress, I don't think it's quite there. Yeah, it's not quite there yet. And the reasons they're giving Natalie to stay are not convincing enough, because Natalie doesn't seem like the type, because I think the idea is that she's prisoner, but she doesn't know that she's a prisoner there. And that's why Misty's supposed to go get her, because Misty's going to swoop in and save her. But the way that they quite haven't shown that she's a prisoner there yet. They're kind of missing some beats. And and you're absolutely right, too, that the story that Lottie tells us to what happened with Travis is just easily could be, you can poke so many holes and thoughts into that story. It doesn't quite feel. And you know, another show that probably gets brought up a lot and compared a lot to this show is Lost. Lost did a really good job. I don't know.
I don't think I've heard that comparison anywhere on the internet. Maybe I'll look
at it. Maybe you should check it out. So that's a little show that came out, 20 years ago.
A little tiny show called Lost.
20 years it came out ago. I think they did a good job of having those characters, characters that believed in science and faith and like how that, the way they balanced that and other people. And there was a lot of like other characters that manipulated other people with that. That ideology, and I don't think they've quite dug in that. They quite haven't done the work for that character yet, so it's a little like TV-ish.
I will say the like a young Misty and older Misty, I really love how they have really tried their hardest to make sure that it's believable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm really seeing, like, a lot more of young Misty with the same mannerisms as what, like, I forgot the actress name, but what Christina Ricci is doing.
Right. Yeah.
Also, favorite part of the episode for me is Christina Ricci, what's the word I'm looking for? Sorry, my brain's been kind of dead because I've been back to work. reluctantly checking out Elijah Wood.
Mm-hmm.
It was my favorite part of the episode when he comes in, he's asking all these questions and it's kind of basically like a perfect match for Christina Ricci.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned, that's probably one of the highlights of the episode. It's so nice to see Elijah Wood act. So I don't see him as much anymore after being, you know, everywhere, you know, I don't know. I haven't really followed much of his career since. And it is great to see him in this part and role and just hearing his voice and just seeing him and just like, oh, this guy's fucking amazing.
But who do you think is the person that wrote the letter to Misty?
I know, right?
Yeah, it's really good. Like, when's the last time we saw, have we reviewed Elijah Wood in a movie yet?
No.
We've done A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, which is his production company. We did Daddy Come to Daddy, right?
We did not. We talked about it, but we ended up not.
We talked about it.
Watching it.
So that's a pretty good one.
I think that was part of it, is that you had seen it already, I believe. I kind of like where the Thaisa thing's heading. I think I was briefly...
it's getting kind of nuts, huh?
Yeah, and it's perfect because she's all of a sudden... sleepwalking again. Right. And we just found out that her and Van would sleep together, and she would tie her down, so she's sleepwalking again. She doesn't have her kids, she doesn't have her family. She may need somebody to help her tie her down again. Mm-hmm. So I like where all that's going. So, and I like that she tried really hard and not also, to kill the dog. Dude, that was great.
Yeah, with the vast amounts of coffee.
Yeah,
and then I also like how she's fed up with her wife, I guess, because her wife's doing everything right.
I know, her wife's actually a decent person. Yeah.
Yeah, runs a red light and fucking gets fucking T-boned.
So
we'll see what happens there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's the Shauna stuff, which, I mean, I just like... Well, I guess it's all leading to her, I don't know. She got a visit from the cops, from her friend cop that she went to school with. Yeah. So.
Oh, and then the goth kid, right, growing up, is his partner or whatever, right, is the person at a bar that Shauna's daughter
kind of
goes and tries to hit on him.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like, that's weird, but okay, cool.
Yeah, I know.
So now they're kind of aware that Shauna might be involved.
Right, yeah. Shauna's feels... that storyline feels like it's going to be inevitable. But how are they going to... Is this, she's just going to go to jail? Or what? How are we going to write herself out of that? It'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Jeff takes the fall? I don't know. That story is kind of boring, I got to admit. Not interesting. Like,
that's a storyline that should have played its course in the first season. I didn't think it needed to carry over.
Yeah, I agree with you. What else happened this episode? I think they did a good job of focusing on all the kids. This was a little more kid-centric episode.
No, we fucking glossed over Jackie got a makeover.
Yeah, Jackie, she looks better.
She kind of looks like that Simpsons episode where Homer has a shotgun full of makeup.
Yeah, or when he gets the lobster, he saves the lobster and it's his friend and he accidentally cooks him. And eats them.
Yeah, exactly. I think actually this episode is nothing
but references.
Yeah. As most shows are anyway.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. You can kind of find any Simpson episode tied to the TV.
Are we missing a character?
No, I think we covered it. Like I said, I think we're right in saying that, like, they did a lot of, like, building upon a lot of the storylines that were already in place without progressing many of them. Aside with the episode ending, of course, with the cannibalism, which kind of was been the big thing that's been back burner-ish, kind of been writing, you know, seeing when they're actually going to take the actual steps and what that might mean.
Yeah, I don't know. There's not, I mean, there was a missed opportunity in dialogue there. Sometimes I get annoyed by the dialogue not being like, there's so many things that could have
right.
been. Like, when they all, like, they take their time, but then they just go and start to eat Jackie, because Shauna's like, she wants us to. There was a missed opportunity to be like, and also, guys, let me tell you, she tastes pretty fucking good. I had an earful. And they're like, what do you mean? Did you eat her dead corpse's ear that wasn't cooked? You see? Gold. That could have been written into the show.
So the title is kind of funny because it's supposed to be a play on Oedipus complex. Oedipal complex. Yeah. I'm assuming it's because they're somehow conflicted with... I mean, there was an eventuality, right? Because that's Oedipus complex, right? And Oedipal complex that they were going to eat something. They were destined to eat something. Plus...
I thought, like,
complexity of eating a person got kind of hammered out.
Yeah.
I think that all kind of.
That's pretty much the whole
episode. Yeah, I'm saying, like, there wasn't a ton there in terms of.
That's what I thought. So Oedipus complex is more of like from the play Oedipus, right, where he ends up having a sexual desire for his mother and ends up sleeping with her.
Yeah.
Or yeah, that's what that means. So I'm trying to
see who's sleeping with whose mother.
understand. Yeah, understand.
Wasn't it foretold to him? I think part of it is that, like, a wise man foretold to him. Look at us, bunch of theater majors. because, you know, we paid attention. That he was told that he was going to sleep with his mother and kill his father, his real father.
Yeah.
So, yes. And he does. He kills the bum or something. I don't remember how this shit goes. And then I did have to write probably a 20-page paper on this. And then he slept with his mother, yeah.
I think because when we were doing these things, we took it a little more serious. But now if you, like, made me sit down and watch like play like Oedipus, I'm like, oh.
It's like Dramamine. Yeah.
People haven't fucking talked like this for thousands and thousands of
years. Why do we keep doing these plays?
I
don't know. Do why?
Yeah. I feel like the only one worth doing is Othello.
That's true. I love Macbeth.
We're good.
Out of the plays, Macbeth's probably my favorite. That's a good one. Macbeth's good.
Good shit.
Yeah. All right.
No more Lion in Winter.
Yeah. It's done.
All right, for all the nerds that stuck with us listening to this podcast episode.
Yeah. Let's do... More modern move on plays. To some
real theater. Yeah. Shaun of the Dead.
All right, let's move over to our we probably should have talked that through.
Oh, let me try another one.
Let's move over to our
okay
main review of I'm gonna keep that one. Let's move over to our main review of Shaun of the Dead. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny,
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Edgar Wright's Shaun of the Dead from the year 2004? Question mark.
Correct, Amundo. Yep.
Oh, I didn't number these because. let's go with. Coming in at number 3 for Edgar Wright's Shaun of the Dead, starring Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, and Julie Davis, if I can call her. Best friends navigate dead ends.
Oh, that's very thoughtful. Yeah, that's a good one.
Figure I might as well give him one. What did I call her? I call her Lucy Davis, right? No, I call her a different name. I'm an asshole.
No, you said Lucy Davis.
Okay.
No, you did. Yeah, I think you said Lucy Davis. Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
Sorry, this is supposed to be our 420 episode, but in substitution, I started having a little bit of scotch instead, and I'm just like, woo! All right. Coming in at number 2 for Edgar Wright's Shaun of the Dead, year 2004. English let their personalities shine. Right? That's what the movie's about. Yeah. Like all these.
Yeah.
Other English people are just really trying to show their true English colors. I'm calling English people boring. There's supposed to be a 5 word. I just couldn't fit into 5 words about how their food is so terrible and made them zombies. Anyway, coming in at number 1 for Edgar Wright's Shaun of the Dead. A legendary movie is a legendary movie. Bam, that's the only one we need.
There you go. Excellent. So Shaun of the Dead...
What is it even about?
What does it even mean? Why did we pick? So, of course, this episode, we should have prefaced this in the beginning, but I'm a bad host. But this episode drops 420, and we chose this as our 420 movie. And mainly because we saw it on a list. So, yeah. And
because Nick Frost, Ed sells weed.
Yeah, we'll go with that loose connections as to why and how much
feels like they're more
CBT and edibles were you on when you saw this movie?
Oh, none. I literally watched it earlier today because I was so tired.
Okay, all right.
I don't know. This movie plays more like they're alcoholics.
Yeah. Yeah, alcoholics. Yeah.
But, yeah.
But we'll go with Ed being a weed dealer as the connection as to why reviewed. Probably, I'm going to easily say this is one of the best movies
ever. We yeah.
both love this movie. Yeah. I mean, there's no disagreements here.
Yeah, blew my mind when it came out in theaters. I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'm going to watch this movie. I remember when this movie came out, like not too long after, there was a movie called Juana the Dead, which was also pretty good, but not nearly as good. I don't know if you saw that yep. one, but yeah, that one was fun.
I think I heard about it. I didn't see it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ah, man, I mean, what are we going to do?
Where do we start?
How do we critique this movie that we just know we love?
When did you first see it? You said you saw a preview of it. Did you see it in theater?
I did. Definitely did. Yeah.
The Carmike?
At the Carmike, probably. And okay. Probably most definitely the Carmike.
Because I don't know if I was living... Was I living in the Edinburgh yet? I don't know if I was. I think I was.
2004?
Right. Yeah.
So roughly a year before we met?
It came out. So I'm going to say I didn't watch it in theater. I'm pretty sure. I was actually trying to think about this morning. Where did I think I rented it. I'm pretty sure I rented it. I don't think I saw it in theaters.
I remember.
Because...
Yeah, well, I mean, what was your first reaction? Because I had a pretty strong reaction to something in the movie.
So I first saw it, I remember, well, I was told that it was going to be, like, this great movie. Because, like, I don't know if we should go through that, like, movies don't really release as they do in, like, LA, where, like, it comes out, like, maybe, like, 5 days before the actual, like, US release sometimes, and, like... It gets released early.
Sometimes
it gets released
6 months before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like this.
Shit, dude.
I mean,
a little off topic, but I saw Little Miss Sunshine, and then a year later, it finally came out in our part of Texas. Like,
exactly.
I came to visit my brother, mm-hmm. and I saw that movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
At the Arc.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I had to explain, like, people, like, where we live, like if you wanted to watch something, I did take several trips to like San Antonio, to like McAllen-ish area to see movies because they were the only places to watch them.
I think San Antonio was the closest IMAX theater we had too.
Yeah, which is the one where they show the Alamo every day. Do they still do that?
I don't know. the Alamo in that shark movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like a shitty documentary.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I don't know. I remember that theater very specifically. I know we're getting off topic. It's just like, if you haven't seen Shaun of the Dead, I don't know what you're doing with your life.
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what we're going to tell you to entice you to watch it at this point.
Just fucking watch it.
Just watch it, yeah.
I remember being at that mall, and then there was not really anybody in there. And I walked to that theater and I was like, oh, well, what are they playing? Maybe I can convince my parents to go watch something. But it was like that fucking dinosaur documentary, the Alamo thing, and then that shark thing. And then there was like a group of like men in the same sort of suit walking out of a store. And then a bunch of people kind of like, not like a bunch, but like a handful of people bum rush the area of the railing I was at because the theater was on the second floor that looked down into the mall.
Mm-hmm, I know exactly what you're talking about. exactly, yeah.
And at the bottom, I just hear this woman right next to me go, I love you, Britney. So Britney Spears was performing that night, I guess, or performed the night before. And she walked out and Britney Spears looked directly at me and just started waving at me. And I'm like, oh, shit. I have your poster on my wall. Don't ask any more questions past that. yeah, that's why I remember that theater so vividly.
I don't think I ever saw those movies, though. Like, I remember seeing them because we'd visit a lot because my sister went to school, so we'd visit her a lot.
They're guaranteed to be boring and crappy, just big in 3D. I
think that was part of it. That's true. Yeah. And...
Which Shaun of the Dead should have been 3D.
Oh, God. They should totally do that. That'd be super fun. I don't know what they would put in 3D.
Like the records flying or like anything.
Oh,
where like, there's a lot of like slapsticky style. It's very obviously influenced by like George Romero's movies.
Yeah.
Sam Raimi's movies. Like what else? There's so many movie references in this movie. This is essentially what Quentin Tarantino thinks he's doing, but he's not.
Yeah, sort of riffing on ideas.
Yeah.
But he's just like literally just like copying stuff.
Yeah. Literally copying stuff.
Yeah. Literally just copying stuff. So yeah, I think I did rent it, and I remember my first impression was like I liked it, but I wasn't blown away by it. Does that make sense? Because I guess I don't think that I had heard too much about it. Two, I think that sort of played like I was maybe expecting more. I had higher expectations watching it. So, but I also think I was also as impressed, or you had the sort of knowledge or vocabulary for some of the camera shots, the directions, the quips, the puns. Like I wasn't quite as in tune with it. I wasn't as like knowledgeable as I would be. So every revisit since, I love it. You know, I can love and appreciate it even more and more since its release. So
yeah.
It did take me a second to kind of catch up with it.
And it's even still got a social commentary, which is kind of great.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all these people that you see around, like, I think like the people that have feel like they have a more important purpose in life, are the ones that survive. And the ones that have kind of been living like zombies in their life are the ones that immediately turn into zombies.
Hmm.
I think that was supposed to be the idea. And then Sean, who always thought he could do more, right? But he's been kind of living a boring life, is the one guy that's trying his hardest, even though he's kind of fucking up. But
he's almost Ash, right? He's sort of succeeding where he should be failed.
Yeah.
He's like,
oh, definitely,
yeah.
And that kind of goes for the trilogy too, except for Hot Fuzz. He's like, well, no, even Hot Fuzz, I guess. Like, even though he's like very serious, like he's still failing. Mm-hmm. But then he comes through at the end.
Yeah. What is briefly, what is your opinion of the trilogy, the Coronado trilogy?
I think I love it. I think obviously at World's End is probably the weakest of the group. You know, yeah, by far, actually, but it's still fun. It's not bad, you know. Mm-hmm. But there is a movie that's very similar to that movie that came out right before that movie got released. I forgot what it's called, but like
really?
A group of friends go for like a bachelor party, and they have like inner turmoil because they haven't seen each other for a while. Go to some like small town in England somewhere to go have a bachelor party, and then they, I think the whole thing was like that town has nothing but mostly women in it, and there's some sort of virus that goes around that they're unaware of that is affecting only women, making them turn into like ravenous sort of like 28 days later style zombies. It's really fun.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot what it's called though.
Yeah, okay. I don't think I've heard of it.
And that's what I think about Shaun of the Dead. No, so Shaun of the Dead, though, the one thing that really struck me when I watched the movie, aside from thinking like, oh my god, I fucking love this movie, it's so funny, it's brilliant, it's just like great, it's like right up my alley, was the soundtrack. I remember purchasing the album, illegally downloading it, and thinking like, this soundtrack is fucking perfect. And then that's when I got into like directors who use all their favorite music into movies. You know, and Edgar Wright's like heavy into music.
Yeah. I think that there was a poignant moment where, like, I don't know why it struck me this time, but it was very, a lot of the comedy is very cringy because it's a lot of Sean failing, being embarrassed. It's a lot of him just like saying one thing and then the opposite happens, or like not going as planned, right? And there is a really poignant moment where he that landed more with me now, where Sean literally tells Ed, "Stop embarrassing me," or something to that effect, right? Towards the end. You know, like, I'm tired of being a laughingstock. Like, that resonated in that, like, it up to this point, he has been, like, And Ed's kind of been the one that's been his, kind of actually the one that's kind of making it worse for him in some sense, like holding him back.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But I also think it's like an important sort of relationship in which, like, not really. It's always been Sean doing it to himself, but used Ed as a crutch to, like, allow himself to fail. Because mm-hmm. Ed was nothing other than, like, supportive, if he wanted to be supportive. But he never told Ed, like, flat out. He would always try to kind of, like, bounce around it. Like, oh, maybe you should do this. And Ed's like, well, no, I don't want to do that. He's like, oh, okay. But if he had just been like, Ed, you got to fucking do this, he'll be like, oh, okay, fine. Like, okay. You could have just told me. So I think that was kind of like, the idea,
the relationship was both like, yeah, I see what you mean. They both used each other as crutches, basically, like, because they had fun with each other.
Like,
immature fun.
Like, Ed, there was nothing like, I think Ed is one of those people that, he probably had all this money too, right? But it's just because, like, his lifestyle allowed him to just be this person. He was just going to be whatever person. But he would just kind of go with mm-hmm. the flow, kind of like he did with, like, oh, there's a zombie apocalypse. And he's one of the few people that's like, all right, well, let's just fucking do this, right? I don't know. And then Sean would be like, no, we should do this. And he's like, all right, cool. Like, whatever.
Yeah. But I kind of also feel like Ed was already comfortable with who he was. This is who he is. He's not going to be any change or be any different.
But
I think he was helpful to Sean, but also hurt him in some respects, because he did embarrass him a lot, right? Because he like totaled the what's-his-face's car, right? Like, odd reason. I mean, it's a funny visual, Pete's vehicle or whatever. It's a funny gag, right? It's a funny visual, right? But like, it's kind of like shitty. Like, how the fuck this guy crashes car? They were only out in the house for.
Because he wanted to drive the Jaguar,
He wanted to drive the Jaguar,
I think it's a lot of, like, sort of commentary in society, right? Where we're siding with all these people that are, like, shitting on Sean. Like, why aren't you, like, doing more with your life? Why aren't you doing better? But realistically, in this movie, he's only, like, what, 28, 29?
Yeah, that blew my mind.
Yeah, I know.
where
it's like, I mean, you should be doing more with your life. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, who says? Like, it's fine. Like, just, you know. Like, he definitely needs a push, for sure. But what all these other people are doing, it's not like their lives are any better. They, like, kind of hate what they do, too. But they're just like, well, this is the way life is supposed to be like. And then the shit hits the fan and the world has fucking fallen apart. And now everything that they built up in their lives, it doesn't fucking matter anymore.
Yeah, you're right about that. Because I think, like, Liz was more into Sean, even if he wasn't, like, perfect. She was like, what do we do next? Or what should we do? Like, she supported him, even though he was still, like, we could, in larger retrospect, making mistakes for the group. Yeah. Like, not knowing what to do. But the thing is, Sean was motivated to actually do something as opposed to nothing, or just, you know, relying on being comfortable with just going to the Winchester, right? As the big example of the whole movie, like just go to the Winchester. That's always his.
Which is not the wrong decision, realistically, because you usually go to like a familiar place, right? Mm-hmm. Is the idea before you figure out your next move. But like what the other guy, the guy from, I mean, most of these people are from space. David character, where it's like, okay, well, he's somebody that's supposedly got his shit together, right? But he never suggests anything good. He's always just complaining and saying like, that's wrong. And it's like, well, you're not making any sort of decision. Otherwise they would just stay at that apartment and that place got swarmed, right? I don't know.
Well, he could have been, that particular character could have been motivated by the fact that he wanted to be with Liz, right? Like, he had a ulterior motive, like, to cut down Sean.
Very, I felt like he was like this with everybody, though. He was just very, like, negative and like, no, why, no, we can't do that. And then it's just like, well, what do we do? And he's like, well, I don't know. Like, he's one of those people, you know?
Right, yeah. No, I see what you mean. Like, he's the guy that's like, oh, that's an awful idea. And then you ask him, so what would you do? It's like, oh, I don't know.
Why are you asking me? Yeah. You seem to have opinions. Yes. Which you meet at workplaces all the time. It's like, okay, you don't like
do
the idea.
Tell.
What would you do? Like, I mean, it's not my job to do that. I'm like, okay, what is your job? Oh, to listen, copy. So do what I told you to do.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. What else? Super funny. Of course, there's really nice. Everybody that before they're zombies, everyone's behaving like zombies, which I thought was,
yeah,
of course, a very poignant thing.
Pretty much. I think every sort of character you kind of see casually in like the opening credits and also in the background, you do see later as a zombie, like Mary,
mm-hmm.
right? The
Mary.
Character Mary, mm-hmm. which allegedly Simon Pegg saw her audition because what Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright, this was like their baby. This movie,
yeah, mm-hmm.
and he said that the whole purpose of the movie was to like talk about how monotonous life was, and how everybody was a zombie anyway, but now that they're actually mm-hmm. zombies, people are like waking up, and how her audition there was something like everybody tried to be like a snarling zombie, but hers was more of like a sad idea of what a person's like, and he said that's exactly what we wanted because like. You know, you're dead and it's sad. Like your whole life was this. And now you're just sad and depressed, but you're dead. And how that like guaranteed her role as Mary, which I thought was kind of cool.
That, yeah, that's kind of echoed through a lot of the, that idea is kind of echoed again and again in this movie with the zombies, with the that they kind of are still who they are. But they're dead now. Similar to like his stepdad, who they make a point. He's like, he tries to explain to I don't know, his Liz, I think, or something that no, they're dead. That's not my dad's stepdad anymore. And then like he lowers the music down still.
Yeah.
That's super funny. And he just looks, and the music goes down, and then he walks away, which is.
And I was also going to mention, had something to do with Mary again. I forgot. Never mind. Moving on. Yeah. But Mel Nahe, that was really funny.
Yeah.
The depressing idea of, oh, so they asked Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg at a panel, like, why did you decide on slow moving zombies? As opposed to like the 28 days later idea of a zombie. And he said like, well, death isn't an energy drink. So that's why they're slow moving. Death is the end. You have completely stopped, but these people are just slower.
Another thing that Zack Snyder introduced into pop culture that won't go away. How poignant is.
Shit.
I did read the trivia on IMDb, and I had forgotten that Simon Pegg and Wright were in Land of the Dead as cameos. I forgotten about that. Love that movie.
Because they gave George Romero a special screening of the movie, and he loved it so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what? Speaking of that, I did see Land of the Dead, but I don't think I saw it in Edinburgh yet.
Oh. So
maybe quite hasn't. Maybe I did. Wait, I may have lied right now. I don't know.
I saw it.
I think I was already 2005. It came out.
I saw it at McCown Theater by one of our local malls before it became what we call a dollar theater.
Right.
I think it was still a full price theater.
Hmm. I'm pretty sure I paid full price for it too. I don't know where I saw it. You know what's great is that I saved. Every ticket, so nice. It's in a coffee can. So I should probably go check it, see if I have it in there. Because I'm pretty sure, which sucks because they don't print tickets anymore. I just rant about this for a little bit that now they don't really print tickets anymore. But they just do everything. I have tickets saved on my phone, but it's not necessarily the same because I want
some theaters
physical ticket.
I still get tickets from theaters, but the paper they're printed on now is not sustainable. Like it fades within like a month. Yeah. So it's not like the cardstock tickets that we used to get.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes they cut them and it cuts some of the names. Because the movie tickets has like the show time, the date, the movie, the screen, shit like that. So it's like, it's relevant information, right? I mean, to remember stuff. So
yeah,
I do have all that saved in my Dan Marino coffee can.
Nice. Miami Dolphins fan over here.
Yeah, I love golf. Yeah.
Did you hear that they had proposed a sequel to this?
No. Well, what would have been the sequel?
But they decided that it was better as a standalone movie. Also, because like most of the characters died, so it wouldn't make any sense. But it was supposed to be like a sequel where zombies are dumb, but they replace it with a different type of monster where he has to deal with a situation similar.
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah.
And it was supposed to be called From Dusk Till Dawn.
That's good. I still think I want to watch that movie. I don't know.
which I would have to watch because I do own this movie too. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, they did make a little poster for him From Dusk Till Dawn for a background image.
Oh, that's fucking really cool. Funny. Like in a parallel multiverse, it exists. That's funny. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, I actually would love to see a sequel, especially with this Sean character, like him. That's a great way to like write all these little stories about a guy growing up or like dealing with life and stuff, fighting monsters or something.
With so much time that has passed by, right? Because what, how fucking long ago was 2004? Like 80,000 years ago?
Yeah, just around. Yeah.
That's almost 20 years ago next year. So yeah. If they did end up doing a sequel to this, you know, potentially they could find a thing where they cure Nick Frost and he's like back.
Because
it's been so long.
It's true.
Chris Martin finds a cure. There you go. Pitching to Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg. Chris Martin, who makes a brief cameo at the end, finds a cure for the zombieism.
Has he announced his next movie yet? Because Last Night in Soho was fucking badass. Did you see it? Did you end up watching it? Or not yet?
We're going to talk about this up here.
It's okay. I've not seen it. It's fucking great. He's playing beautifully with, like, I don't know, paranoid horror movies and, like, Suspiria, Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. All fucking kind of there. It's really good. I was super impressed, and I had pretty much ridden him off with Baby Driver, because that movie was trash.
All right, so do you want to know, he's got a bunch of things coming up, including Baby Driver 2. You're welcome.
No.
Like, he's got 8 things in development right now, but most importantly, the one thing that is in production is Edgar Wright remaking a Stephen King novel.
Oh!
Which he is writing as well.
We love Stephen King.
But this is a movie that Stephen King went under a pen name of Richard Bachman.
Oh. Are you sure? Are you sure it's the same guy?
I don't know. Maybe I know some stuff. Little secrets. Secrets from the government.
Steven?
Little movie called The Running Man.
Ow. Oh, yeah.
I think it's going to be good.
Well, it's going to be worth taking a look at least. Because it's Edgar Wright.
Already in production. The futuristic United States of 2025, when the world has become a dystopia. I like when they do that. Kind of like, Escape from L.A.? Where, like, it was literally, like, 2 years later was the idea.
Or, what was it? I don't know. Did you ever watch the WCQ? Roma Coppola's?
No.
It's kind of like it's a making of film about basically a Barbarella-esque movie. Oh. And it's set, that Barbarella-esque movie is set in, like, 2000, I think, and the movie came out in 2001 or something. It's like the year after, which I thought was super funny. But yeah, you never saw that CQ. It's pretty good. I think it has Jason Schwartzman. Pretty sure it has Jason Schwartzman. He's related to the Coppola.
He is a Coppola.
This is true. He is a Coppola, yeah. It's by family, by blood.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's a really good little movie.
Okay.
It's like a comedy.
We should all check it out.
Indie comedy. Nothing horror related, just fun. Good stuff. Oh, did you watch the trailer for Wes Anderson's new movie? Because no,
I'm
sure you've been working. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah,
I should. Working. I try not to send you too many trailers during the day because I know you're busy doing stuff. So I was like, I set up too much. You know what? She's not gonna.
I saw the cast, and only because somebody was like, whoa, Wes Anderson's new movie is stacked with like famous actors, and I went through the cast, I'm like, yeah, these are all the people he works with every fucking time. What are you talking about?
Except new cast member Hope Davis, who I think literally is like, she was born to be in a Wes Anderson movie. I was surprised that she has never been in a Wes Anderson movie. She's like the perfect actress, and this is like her first time working with him. So
Asteroid City, yeah.
Have you seen the trailer?
No.
Are we watching it live? We're gonna get live reactions from John as he watches Asteroid City.
Because there's also a movie called The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar, which is also in post production.
No, also it's not that one.
Oh no!
Oh, sorry. That's probably animated. Probably, I bet. I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because there's like a shit ton of people.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Let's get live reactions. From Chad.
Looks good. There you go. We're done.
Looks like a painting.
Looks like a Westy Andy movie. That's for sure.
Westy Andy joint. Yeah. Okay, we don't have to watch it if we don't want to. I don't know. It looks fun. It looks cool. Cool music always has cool music.
Oh, speaking of cool music, going back to it, using oh my god, I'm blanking on the name of the song. Radiohead's, it was on OK Creep. Computer for the end of Yellow Jackets episode. It was really good.
Oh yeah, there was a Radiohead song. Yeah,
but it's definitely off of OK Computer. I remember that. Don't remember. Yeah, cool. It was a cool thing, except for the whole like splicing montage of different things that are happening where I'm like, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I did really enjoy the Queen music video, basically. Dude, Don't Stop Me Now. That was excellent. It made me I saw the movie, and then Candy and I went to the grocery store. I was like, I think I'm going to put this song on. It was a lot of fun. It's really well directed and funny and just so much energy and vibe to it. So,
oh, yeah. All right. Yeah. I mean, what else can we say about Shaun of the Dead?
I don't know. That's
fucking great.
Did you talk to Justin? Does he know we're watching this?
No, I don't think so. But, I mean, everybody loves this movie. It's
like, That's true. It's, yeah. I think I want to say he said, I think last time I told you you're wrong, friend. I think it was Justin who said this is like one of his favorite movies. But you're right. It is everybody's
like favorite just a good, movie. Really solid movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like well needed during that time too, because it was like the height of the zombie craze. Like all these zombie movies were coming out because George Romero released Land of the Dead.
And, he released it the year after.
Oh, right? Year after. That's right. But I think we were aware, right, that he was like in production with one.
Yeah, and wasn't Zack Snyder? Didn't he already remake Dawn of the Dead?
Yeah, I think most certainly. Yeah,
I think you're right. I think that's when they were like, we gotta remake all of George Romero's movies. It was like that phase where we gotta make a million zombie stuff.
Oh, it came out the same year.
I was going to say, I think it came out 2004. Yeah, I was actually going to say that.
But I just remember it being a thing. Well, when did 28 Days Later come out?
28 Days Later came out in 2000.
Yeah, I was going to say it definitely came up before. So, yeah, I think there was like a series of things that were happening. And then this movie came out, and we weren't sure how to feel about it, but it was clearly a, like a, it came off as a spoof movie in the trailer, which, I mean, it is, but I think it's like, I don't want to call it that because it's way more than that. It's just like a solid movie.
No, yeah, yeah. With zombies in it.
Shit. Oh, 2002, 28 days.
No shit.
But you were right that 28 Days with Sandra Bullock came out in 2000.
See, I got every Sandy Bullock's movies in her years. She released them in my head somewhere. Yeah.
All right. Should we spoil the ending?
Wait. No, no, no. Stop, stop, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers.
I mean, sure.
Everybody what dies happened? Except for Sean and... I forgot.
Liz.
Liz.
Ed survives, but he's...
They stay the together.
Pet dog.
Yeah, he's not survives, but does not get shot in the head to be... eradicated forever. And yeah, it's kind of like a pet dog and plays video games with Sean in the barn
shed
yeah,
whatever, yeah, in the shed. Yeah, that's good ending. They remain friends. I like how like the big thing is that his life slightly improved. Now he's still living at the same flat, but he's living with Liz with better pillows and maybe it's a little cleaner.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all that's changed, but he still hangs out with Ed. It's playing video games.
And I think like they kind of, as opposed to killing all the zombies, they just kind of acclimate them to become a part of society again, doing exactly what they did before, so nothing has changed for them either.
Oh yeah, they're an important workforce because they don't stop or complain or something. They just lights
kept them doing the same exact thing.
so
the lives have not changed.
That was very funny movie. Watch it.
Love it.
Yeah, love it. I mean, come on. It's Shaun of the Dead. If you're inkling and listening to this show at all, you're pretty sure you've seen Shaun of the Dead. I imagine so. They probably just want to hear it to hear what we think of Shaun of the Dead, which is nice too. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give?
Just rate the movie.
Holy shit. This is a tough one. I'm going to give Shaun of the Dead 9.95 sexy spooky bones.
Do you want to guess what IMDb gave it?
Probably like an 8.
Without looking at your phone.
Like an 8? 8-ish?
Yeah, isn't that disappointing?
Yeah.
I felt like that's too low.
But not everybody likes to laugh. That's the problem.
What?
No.
People... like... okay.
They're like, talk about Edgar wrong. That's what I'm imagining the reviews are like.
There are 1,000 reviews on IMDb. And you know, that's a great source of information here. Okay, let me just read... I just want to see one negative comment. Like, what is it that they didn't like? Because that way we can get some, like... Okay, I got to read this. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
I'll title it 6 out of 10, a good horror comedy, but somewhat overrated. So I'm not going to read the whole thing by Paul Andrews. I think it's his username.
World-renowned critic from the Midwest, I assume.
With a supposed budget of about $4 million is well made, although there isn't a great deal of style or flair to it. The acting is good. The cast make their characters pretty likable. Shaun of the Dead is a decent, fun homage to Romero's zombie films. But to be brutally honest, I'd rather see one of those again than this, though. Worth the watch for sure, but not as good as I'd hoped. I felt slightly overrated. There you go.
There you go.
That is...
Thank goodness for Paul whatever.
Pool Sanger.
Yeah, for existing in the world and being a foremost authority on what good film is.
Thank God he didn't see any fun in this. He thinks it's overrated fun.
Yeah.
There you go. There's a contrarian opinion. Sometimes you and I agree too much.
Yeah. So I retract my sexy bones.
He makes some good points. All right. Let's not waffle anymore. I also will give it 9.9. Should I give it a 10? Just to, because I've been throwing 10s around. Should I just give it a 10? I gave Possession 10 last week.
You did. Yeah. That's true.
So I'm just going to I'm going to be the guy. I'm going to break through the glass. I'm just going to give it another 10. Why not? That's a 10. That's a hard argue.
Yeah.
Except for Pools Andrew over here.
I know.
Didn't like it.
Makes some good points. And, you know, I'm going to retract I didn't even call him Sexy Spooky Bones. So I'm going to retract my rating. Redacted. And okay. I'm going to give Shaun of the Dead 9.99 Sexy Spooky Bones. Fuck you, Paul. Blue, blue, blue.
You keep calling him Paul. You want to call him Paul Davila or something?
No. No, Paul Davila loves this movie.
Paul Davila loves this movie. But his pseudonym, Pools Andrews, did not like it.
I think it's just like when you name yourself Pools, I'm like, no, I'm not going to say that stupid name. Your name is Paul.
Alrighty. IMDb. Okay. All right, guys, girls, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky. Not you, Pools, blubber blims.